This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The coronavirus pandemic, it is disrupting so much of our world that people are comparing the unrest to the 2008 financial crisis. The survival of entire sectors of the economy is now at risk, namely arts organizations and other creatives like restaurants and startups. John Michael Schert brought his international dance troupe, the Trey McIntyre Project, to Boise back in 2008. A dancer himself, he was faculty for several years at the University of Chicago's Business School, teaching classes that combined artistry and social entrepreneurship. He studied adaptive leadership at Harvard, and he now uses his understanding of the importance of creativity in business in his consulting career. So who better to give us an understanding of how to move forward from this crisis than John Michael himself? Hey, welcome to Idaho Matters.
Thank you so much. Great to be here, Gemma.
So, John Michael, I want to start by hearing from you about your experience living and working through the 2008 financial crisis. I mean, how is what we are experiencing now similar to that time?
I think in a lot of ways, all these systems that we've built, ways that we monetize, ways that we build community, when there's a crisis like we're experiencing now or in 2008, everything goes out the window. So specifically for organizations like arts organizations or restaurants that are very fragile in terms of their business models, when they see a hit, there's a lot of loss. They don't really know how to recover. But similar to 2008, what we're already beginning to see are the most creative organizations, the most creative people are the quickest to pivot. They're the most agile. They're the most able to let go of all the way it was and say, what could it be now?
I want to read something that you wrote a couple of years back. It's an example of your argument that artists are some of the most resilient in crisis times, like you just mentioned. So you said, for example, and this is a quote from you, "Dancers are very aware of the physical spaces in which they work. They read nonverbal body language and help facilitate a more cohesive environment through their behaviors. In the business world, people would call this expert level of nonverbal awareness a, quote, high emotional intelligence." I find this to be fascinating, John Michael, because how can we use this knowledge to protect our businesses and our organizations, but also the economy from this economic downturn that we are seeing and that we will have to, you know, dig ourselves out of?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many public goods that we know are around us all the time. Like, there are so many ways of operating we as humans are always behaving in, like nonverbal communication, and we don't necessarily value it or place monetary value on it, especially in times of crisis. I mean, look at what's getting a lot of us through this moment right now of social isolation. It's community, and it's the ways we communicate, and it's the ways we come together. And I think that the ways we think of building community, not just when this coronavirus pandemic passes, but during this moment, it's going to lead to new innovative business models. We're already looking at ways we assign value. So for instance, restaurants locally, the ones that are pivoting the quickest to be delivering meals to homes, the ones that are thinking about how to feed the most underprivileged and use excess food resources and not let food go to waste, but feeding the homeless and the underserved. It's how we build community in this time and communicate in ways we didn't think of before. So what I find so exciting in moments of crisis, you know, don't waste a crisis. Now, a lot of people don't have that privilege. They are completely overwhelmed by what's happening to them. One thing that I would posit are those that artists and creatives in general that have been dealing with meager resources for so long already know how to continue to create and not just be shut down by a lack of resources, and to create new ways of engaging with their fellow humans. That's going to lead to new monetary gain, I think, as we begin to sit with this period of uncertainty.
So you define the category of artists and creative pretty broadly. So I'm curious to know who you would define who falls into that category.
It's a good question. It's one that a lot of people in my realm are always debating. Are you an artist just because you practice an artistic form? Like if you paint, are you a painter? I would say no. There's a lot of dancers I know who are fantastic technicians. They're not necessarily artists. But there's also a lot of surgeons I know that are fantastic artists, and their artistry is their surgery. I think of it as someone that's mastered a technical form, yes, but they're at the edge of their competence. They're able to sort of keep one foot grounded in what they know to be true, technique, form, systems as we know them, but they're not run by those systems. They're always stepping out past the edge of their competence. They're always taking on more risk, more uncertainty. That's what I would say defines an artist. If you look at sort of early philosophy and early thinkers, you know, going back hundreds of thousands of years, they understood that better than I think we do in modern day times. And artist is it's not a definition, it's a way of being, it's a mindset. I was on a call earlier this morning with world leaders from around the world. It's a sort of a Monday morning group. We get together and talk about what trends are we seeing. And the biggest trend right now is humans learning to be more interdependent, humans learning to collaborate more than compete. You know, the head of the WHO just said, the one thing I hope that this teaches us is that no one's alone with their health. We're so interdependent. What's happening in China affects us, but we're all interdependent in how we come together to heal and to create better systems. I think artists have understood that interdependence, that ability to collaborate very well for millennia. And so what I would define as an artist or writ large a creative, I'm agnostic to your discipline. Who are the creators? You know, we often say in times of crisis, who are the helpers? Who are the people that run in to help? But I think who are the creators that are also figuring out not just a new model or a new protocol or a new business plan, but they're creating a new mindset. And if you look at every pandemic and global affliction since the dawn of time, it's always the artists that shape the narrative and help us think about who we are now after this moment has passed.
I think it's really interesting, though, too, that even using that word artist, how you said, you know, surgeons that are artists. I mean, you know, you think about engineers, right? I mean, they can fall into that category. So yes. It really seems, too, that it's knowing, as you said, how to pivot, right? How to maybe look at the world a bit differently. And if you're lucky enough, if you are not having to worry about housing and food and health, you can maybe also build some resiliency. So do you think as well, I mean, it's also realizing that some people just do not have the means to pivot and be resilient because there are so many things being thrown at them right now. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, I think a lot of us maybe studied this at one point, a pyramid. And if you don't have safety, security, food at the bottom, you can't really get to creativity, which is the fifth layer up. And so, yes, if you are incapacitated right now, it's hard to be creative. But one skill I would say that artists have developed is they've often lacked resources, but they've still been able to create. And so it's this sort of like mindfulness techniques we'll talk about, just centering yourself, being present, not being as strongly affected by what's coming at you. It is a privilege, but it's also a skill that can be trained. You can train yourself to continue to see the novelty and the curiosity and what's possible, even when you're overwhelmed. And I think we're gonna see the human race begin to evolve because of a crisis like this, to say, even amidst this, and again, we can look at history to show us, it's those that continue to innovate and create, even when lacking all resources and even lacking their health, that are gonna guide us through.
You know, it's interesting. My husband and I have had numerous conversations during this time, because, you know, we all get more time to hang out together.
Yep.
Is you know, how will we be changed by this, right? And to see that, yeah, this is a crisis that we are living through, and you do not want to make light of that at all. But what will become, like, what, how will we all be as people, as a society, you know, culturally, when we get to the other side of this? And it's, I think it can be exciting and scary at the same time to think about that. And do you think that creatives and artists, I mean, they kind of live in that realm all of the time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, look, most of us are probably binge watching Netflix right now. There's already hundreds of shows that we're envisioning a future. You know, we already have models for what comes next. I was told recently that after the 9/11, attack, the CIA hired novelists and writers to begin crafting future scenarios, help us envision what could be, both in a negative and in a positive. So I think all of us humans are sitting here saying, we're trying to grapple with what the present is, but we're also trying to think about the future. And we have models for that everywhere. So one thing I implore to the creative sitting at home, and again, I'm using this word broadly, if you're sitting at home, use this time to create. Think about future scenarios, create whatever your medium or form is. If you're a novelist, a writer, a painter, I've been chatting with our good friends at the Morrison Center, and I'm one of the executive producers of Treefort. And we're actually thinking about creating a commissioning fund at this moment. to pay right. people to sit and think about what can we do with this time? Because again, I don't want to be Pollyanna. This is horrific. There are lives being lost. People are losing their entire livelihood. But also in these moments is the perfect time to pivot, to think of something new, to change our mindset. And so how can we incent people to do that more, to not just feel overwhelmed? And I'm saying this to all humans, to not just feel overwhelmed, but to see it as a possibility. And that's not meant just to make us feel good. It's to help us say, how can we emerge from this more of a community, more collaborative, more interdependent?
So talk to me about, speaking of pivoting, what Ballet Idaho is doing right during this time.
Yeah, Garrett Anderson is the artistic director. Garrett was actually the best man at my wedding a number of years ago. We've known each other since we were 14. And I was so really intrigued by what they did. The order from the governor came the day of their performances at the Morrison Center about 3 weeks ago. Very quickly, Garrett and the artistic staff got cameras in, and they recorded the dress rehearsal with 5 high-definition cameras from Front Runner. And they spent the weeks editing it, and then they live cast it over the weekend to ticket buyers and patrons. And they just so quickly were able to say, yes, we're typically put dance on stage. And going to the theater is like going to church. It's beautiful, it's magnificent, but a lot of us don't go to church weekly. And so I think they were able to quickly say, how do we reach our community where they are? And how do we continue to be a place of gathering and inspiration in this moment of social isolation? And they did that so well. And I think it's the creative organizations right now that are pivoting in that respect. And it's not just about getting things online. It's about those that have built a support system that's more than just market driven. And this is not just for arts organizations. This is for small businesses. The restaurants that are going to survive are those that have built real community, that have fed people, that have fed their soul as well as their bellies. And I think Ballet Idaho did a great job of bringing us all together this weekend to watch these works of art. And it felt like a moment, it felt like a happening. And I think from what last I heard, they raised an additional almost $20,000 of funding from people paying to also get the link and the access to watch this video. So it's created a whole new business model for them as well.
So before I let you go very quickly, we know the creative community needs funding both to create art, I mean, in normal times, but to also pivot to address the needs right now. So where do you think, funding should be coming from to make sure that a lot of these organizations, whether they are, a Ballet Idaho or a local restaurant, don't shutter when we move through this?
It's a great question. And a lot of us began end of last week in earnest thinking about this. So already we saw, and you've had them on Idaho Matters a couple times, which is fantastic. The Idaho Community Foundation and United Way have created a fund for service nonprofits and healthcare nonprofits. I believe we need to do the same for arts organizations and individual artists. And so we're thinking about both a relief fund, just like everyone needs at this moment, funds just to survive, to get us through. But I want to take that a little bit further. This commissioning fund idea, how are we commissioning individual artists, giving them money to do what they do, which is to create as they're at home? How do we also maybe, this is a little more pie in the sky, I'd love to see a fund that is funding innovations and business models for arts organizations, funding this mindset shift, like how are we creating new narratives? Sort of, we don't think of art this way, but it really is research and development. We're really thinking about new paradigms, similar to how scientists do it. We just go about proving it differently. Scientists use a scientific method, artists use a creative process. But how do we fund them for that period in which there isn't really an output yet, but it takes years and years of development? So many of us in the community, arts leaders, people at the city, Idaho Community Foundation, are thinking about how do we create a fund, and it might have multiple ways you can apply.
And John Michael, I have got to cut you off. I apologize. Yeah. We could talk about this all day. I want to thank you for coming in and talking with us. We've been talking with John Michael Shett, an artist and creative business consultant, about how creatives are uniquely situated to help us through this crisis. This is Idaho Matters.